Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Hero takes up a card, so he's three. So if you're playing a six, he's half your faction.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a beast.
He's super good.
He's super good. Yeah, it was. I was just super impressed. I love talking to him too, because all the Arena Rex guys are just like, they do it out of a passion for it, and I'm just like, oh, you got to do, like, you know, you have so much fun stuff to do. And I was saying, like, what you should do is you should do kind of like an Eastern European, Polish-ish, you know, Russian faction with like big hussar wings and everything like that. And we were talking about, saying that, well, he was talking about, like, I don't want to do Hercules like they do Hercules, you know, with the lion head on
Heracles.
And I was like, oh yeah, you should do something like fucking crazy.
Do a greased up naked Heracles.
Well, he mentioned, how about instead of like a lion head, we do like a hippo head. And I was like, oh man, but not just like, but you got to make it like all gory. Like, he just ripped the head off the hippo, and he's like, he's wearing it as a helmet. And like, you could see his head through the mouth of the hippo. It was like, it's a ball.
I just wanted to be naked.
You want to be naked?
Yeah.
It's just true. There's not enough dongs in Arena Rex.
Yeah. Well, I said, where's the Minotaur? And I was like, you're going to give him you're going to give him the minnow dick, right?
The testicles. Yeah. You need testicles in that game.
That giant Minotaur dong.
Oh yeah. 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 Hey everyone, welcome to Game Classy. I am your host Joe, and with me,
you
as always,
know we're classy because we start off talking about
dongs.
Giant Minotaur dick.
With me as always, my co-host Steve, and today we were talking about
Adepticon, or Darzabur.
I always laugh because whenever I think of Adepticon, I think of the one time I brought Pat B to Adepticon, and he's like, it's just like the opening of Goodfellas, you know, or when they're going to the Copa in Goodfellas, where you're shaking everyone's hand and everything. I'm like, I know a lot of people in Chicago gaming.
Yep, same.
Yeah, and so it's like the first day I went on Friday, I barely got to do anything because I was talking to everybody. But yeah, and Steve actually went this year.
I did. I was there in a bright pink hoodie.
And you only met with a couple people though, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I wandered around. I was looking for anyone to contact me, but I didn't see anyone.
Yeah.
Well, finding people is a nightmare because Adepticon got gigantic.
Yeah, well, this is your first time you've been there since it moved to Scumberg.
Yeah, it's fucking huge. It's a real convention.
Isn't it cool?
I remember when, like, the sales area was a tiny little closet.
Yeah, well, I mean,
there were a couple guys like, you want to buy some books?
Well, I mean, I remember, like, early, like, when they first started letting vendors in, because they never had vendors for the first few years. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of opened it up, and they would have, like, one row of vendors. So it would be like, I don't know, 10 vendors, and it was usually like Battle Foam. It would take up like half the space. Yeah. But now it's got like the whole sales floor. It's amazing. I love it.
Tons of people there. I saw Zhao Crown.
It's Zhao Crown.
Yeah, I saw him hawking his sweet Chinese minis.
Yeah. I have his rule book.
Watchful Eye Studio.
Yeah.
I took his business card.
You took his business card?
Yeah.
Zhao Crown?
Zhao Crown. No, the progenitor of the Crone Berserkers and the Necrones.
The Necrones. The Necrones. Which is funny because he never played Crone Berserkers or Necrones.
No, neither. But
he never did.
It's because it was his name.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
But yeah, Watchfly Studio, he does they have like an Asian style, like Chinese, like clay terracotta army. Really cool looking stuff, actually. I was impressed. I didn't know he was no longer with Battlefront.
Yeah, he's back in Chicago now.
Yeah.
He did a rule set too for like Black Powder, you know, French Indian War, Revolutionary War, because his obsession is American Revolution. I want to call it cosplay, but it's a historical reenactment.
Cosplay.
Yeah, it's cosplay.
It's cosplay. Yeah. they can call it whatever they want, but it's cosplay.
Yeah, he did a rule book called Land of the Free, which is pretty good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, you walk around in Civil War or Revolutionary War outfits, you're cosplaying.
Yeah.
You can try and make it not. But you are.
Yeah. It's historical reenactment, sir.
Yeah, cosplay.
Yeah. And he does the British, though. That's you know, that's a little anti-American, if you ask me.
Okay.
All right. So
who doesn't want to be a redcoat? They got snazzy outfits.
They do have the snazzy outfits. Really easy to see on the battlefield.
Yeah.
So Adepticon 3
and hard to see him bleed.
4-day event in Scumberg, Illinois.
Yeah. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. I was there Friday and mostly yesterday, and I'm going back today just for really briefly because I keep on I forgot yesterday to talk to with the guy from Trenchworks, which is a 3D printing. They make tanks and stuff like that. And they're there. They're from UK, and I was like, I have to buy stuff from them here because the shipping is so much cheaper.
Right.
But I keep
from the UK.
I keep on forgetting. I forgot I had to place an order with them. Mm. So yeah, I don't know. But anyway,
Kevin texted me. He found a Gundam painting book there. And I was like, fuck, if I saw that, I would have bought it. The guy had a few, and I was like, shit, now I'm going to probably look for it and buy it online.
Did he, how did he do on Arena Rex?
I didn't ask.
Oh, no.
But I saw him playing a game against the Egyptians, and it did not look like it was going well for him.
No.
I was standing next to him, but he was absorbed in the game, so he didn't see me, and I just kind of scampered off.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess I could just start. We could talk about the vendors first, because that's, like, the first big thing that you get in there, and you see all that fun stuff. Saw the guys from Soda Pop Minis. Saw Earl from Soda Pop. He's a cool guy. Been talking with
him. I looked for him, but he was never at the booth when I went.
He was never at the booth.
No, I saw Drew. I talked to Drew for a little bit.
Drescher.
Yeah, Hawk and his Super Dungon Explorer.
Yeah. The that Kickstarter is having some problems, the latest one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Because they were really good with the first Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. Like, unbelievably good. It came in exactly right on time, everything. This one, they're having some problems.
Fulfillment issues?
No, it's China. It's all the Chinese.
China.
Yeah, they're apparently the slow boat to China from China is taking quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
they have to ship the.
I am someone who suffers under that frequently, and I can assure you, there's nothing you can do about it other than just be like, well, you gotta wait.
Yeah, they had to break it up into like two waves now. So like the first wave, which is coming, is not even the stuff that I got. So I'm kind of pissed about it, but because it was supposed to drop in I think December,
mm-hmm.
and you know it's already 3 months later and. I think the first wave is supposed to be shipping like either this month, like March, like late March or early April. So I'm not going to be getting any of that, which kind of sucks because I've been using the Super Dungeon Minis to get my daughter into D&D. So I'm hoping.
You blew it.
I know you blew it.
Should have waited and purchased them in a store. You could have had them in your hand.
Well, no, because they're not in the store yet. Yeah. But, yeah, so Super Dungeon was there. We saw Wreckage, who we found out are fans of the podcast.
Yeah.
So got to talk with them for a while. They sent us a bunch of...
The info on their Kickstarter, which is currently going, it is funded now or just about funded. It's vehicles. So they've got dudes on motorcycles, and they have a bunch of post-apocalyptic car designs. So they got, like, you know, Mad Max-style cars with, like, machine guns and shit strapped on them.
You're more familiar with Wreckage than I am.
Wreckage is Mad Max.
Yeah, it's Mad Max.
Yeah, but it's got a little more, there's a little more fantastical elements. Like, they have one of the factions is called the Stitchers, and, like, they harvest organs from people, and, like, they use it to extend their lives, so they're really old. And there's like a Brotherhood of Steel, like sci-fi, like technology hoarders. Like they find all technology and they kill anyone who has it and steal it. But the big deal with these vehicles is they're modular. So like there's a truck and it's just there's like part of the truck. And then all of the pieces that go on the truck are modular. So you can make it like a flatbed or like put like a turret in the back, like a standing machine gun turret. Or you can make it a closed canopy, like transport. And I guess a bunch of them are going to have interior design. So they're going to have things where you like you can lift up the top, like the back of the car and like they'll be the inside fully fleshed out.
Well, I mean, I guess it's better since GW shit the bed with their Necromunda re-release.
Did they?
Yeah. So, you know, they did Blood Bowl, which was super... Super pop. I mean,
still popular.
Blood Bowl is unbelievably popular.
Hot, hot, hot.
So their next one that they were going to release, and everyone was super excited about, they were going to do Necromunda. But instead of the Necromunda that everyone wants with the gangs and or even Gorkamorka with the orcs, they just repackaged a bunch of like Space Marines in the box, and they're oh yeah, all the factions are based off all of the armies that are already there, and everyone was like.
Well, I mean, that makes more sense. Like they wanted to make a 40K Mordheim. They didn't just want to make Necromunda.
Yeah, but people love Necromunda.
Sure, but that's an entirely different range.
I understand, but like you look at like Blood Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone loves Blood Bowl, and so much so that games that ape Blood Bowl were super popular until Blood Bowl came back out.
True.
I mean, even like Guild Ball is.
However, I would say that there are no games that ape Necromunda that are popular.
Well, but I mean, the idea of the sci-fi skirmish game, with gangs or like Gorkamorka, like Wreckage and stuff like that, people play those games.
Gorkamorka would have been a cool re-release.
Yeah, and what's the other one? Like Infinity. Infinity is about as is pretty close to Necromunda. In
yeah, I guess
terms
reasonably.
Of, yeah, in terms of like play style, like you got you know less than 10 figures and you're running around on a ton of multi-level terrain. I mean, that's about as close as the parallels it gets. But GW could have been like, oh, shit, we, you know, we did Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl super popular. Let's do this with Necromunda. Nope.
Well, it's not out of the wood. You know, it's not, I'm sure it's not gone yet because the game isn't named Necromunda, right?
No, it's not.
So
it's,
there you go.
It's like, it's this typical, the typical, like, GW, like, Bloodstorm.
The Underspire.
Yeah, not even that.
Dude, I think my favorite name for any of their games right now is the one where you, it's the corn arena game, Gorechosen.
Gorechosen.
Yeah, I was like, that's fucking sick. Gorechosen.
But yeah, it's I think part of the problem too was that Blood Bowl took a long ass time to come out.
For sure.
From like when it was initially announced and all of the sculpting and everything, it took a long ass time. And so like if they do Necromunda and they do put two gangs in there, it's going to take a long ass time.
Right.
My hope, you get the old school what are those guys with the warlocks with the big fucking muscle guys?
Oh, I think that was Spyrer, the ones with the suits. They have like all the
No. I'm talking like the big muscle guys. Like they had like the
giant
arms.
Just the buff
arms.
Dudes.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
I think
those are the Orlocks.
Yeah.
they were just like ridiculously sculpted muscle men.
Just like we're buff.
We're buff. And then I don't remember the other gang that was in that box. It was Orlocks were one, and it might have been like Escher maybe, or I don't remember.
I just remember Spyrer because they were fucking broke.
Yeah,
they were always busted, and people always complained about them because they were OP.
I always liked the guys with the trench coats but no shirt on underneath.
That's so 80s.
the lack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, with it's so cyberpunk, and they got like the little like glasses
the tiny,
on.
The tiny Spider Metropolitan.
Yeah.
Spider Jerusalem.
Some, yeah.
Glasses. Yeah.
I have a ton of I got a good gang of those guys. I love those models.
Oh, because
they're so ridiculous.
These vehicles are are resin, and then they're gonna have resin and then metal add-ons.
Okay.
So like you can like all of the pieces are a modular. So like it's a car, and you put the machine guns where you want. And they're doing the stretch goals now, and they said there's gonna be a ton of stuff stretch goal wise. So
okay.
You know, check it out. Even if you have no interest in playing Wreckage, they are really sweet post-apocalyptic vehicles. So you'd be good for RPGing like Rifts or Fallout, anything you want to do in that like kind of vein.
Yeah, and they fit Mad Max and all that fun
for sure.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they also just look like pretty sweet cars. So if you want to do a Mad Max diorama,
oh my
there
God.
You go.
Who was it? I can't think of his name.
Don't be addicted to water.
There's one of the blogs that I follow. He's an old GW guy, and why can't I think of his name? He does a lot of photography for like War Games Illustrated and things like that. And he's Dave Taylor. You know Dave Taylor,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Dave Taylor did a bunch of Mad Max conversions on stuff like that, and it's fucking sick.
Sweet.
Yeah, he did it with Matchbox cars though. So
okay,
a little smaller than you need.
Yeah, these are bigger.
Yeah,
28 mil.
And I've seen like some Mad Max games where they like Where did you find the fucking tanker truck in scale like that? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's cool. We saw the...
Just walk away.
Yeah, Lord Humongous.
Fucking jockstrap and hockey mask.
You get to see those ass cheeks.
That's right.
Sweet, sweet Australian ass cheeks.
That's right.
Yeah, so who else did I see there hawking some good stuff? You know, it was a lot of, like, the normal stuff, cool mini or not. Saw Polar Bear. Which is cool. I don't know if you saw him. No. I think I saw Polar Bear.
No. I announced when I was there in my pink jacket and was waiting for anyone to approach me. I tried to walk around to make sure I was as visible as possible. I'm fairly certain I was the only person there in pink. No one.
You were there in the bright pink.
Yes,
that's
bright
pink. That's how I was able to see you there.
Neon fucking pink.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think. You know, there was a lot of laser cut, a lot of resin bases, guys.
Yeah, there was one that they were doing wood bases, wood inserts.
Oh, okay.
They were really nice looking, and they were much cheaper than the resin versions. I think they're the cheapest, best looking base inserts you can get, and they're just you know thin cut wood. Like they have cobblestones and stuff like that. You just stick it in your base, and bam, got it done.
Yeah, there was also the guy who were. I think they're a local company. I'm not 100% sure, but they have press molds. So they have like a sheet of. I don't know, of plastic mm-hmm. that's got the design on it, and all you do is you put the green stuff in your base you smack it down, and then you lift it up. I mean, I use Green Stuff's World's Rollers, which I've talked about on the podcast before, and I showed you, and I like that for that reason. Yeah, that's what Jim Wappel uses.
Oh,
Golden Demon winning Jim Wappel.
Oh,
yeah, he was there. I got to see his stuff. He's big in the bolt action now, the butt action.
Butt action.
Butt action. Played some demos. Blood and Plunder, I got to play. Do you see that one there?
Nope. I didn't do any demos.
But they had the really nice booth, though. Did you see the pirate booth?
Did not see the pirate booth.
No, they have a...
I saw a lot of booths, but I didn't see a pirate booth. And I saw there was that mecha game out in the front hall, which looked pretty cool.
Oh, the one with the giant robots?
Yeah, there's just two giant robots in a city, like, punching each other. And I was like, that looks cool.
That's cool. Who else was there? I finally got to finish a game of Star Trek Ascendancy, which actually is a very fun game. I played the demo before, and I was like, okay, I can see where this goes. Mm. Playing it through all the way, I'm like, oh, okay. I think that the cultural win, a little too easy in that game.
Yeah.
I think so. But I was playing Klingon, so I want to kill everything. That's my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's nice to have straightforward cultural victories.
Yeah, I guess.
It's just like in Rex, where everyone's got their own win con.
Yeah.
The fucking Lions win con's really easy. It's just like, don't let anyone else win. They'll turn eight. You win. There you go. Good win con.
Yeah, it was what we said on the last cast about Gale Force 9 games, about how, in reality, they're good games in and of themselves, but because they feel so much like what they're supposed to represent.
Yes, their spirit of their license is very good.
Yes, and that's exactly it. So it's like, that's why I think Star Trek Ascendancy works so well.
You feel like you're playing Klingons. You feel like you're playing the Federation. You feel like you're playing Romulans.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see the Ferengi. That's the two expansions. They're Cardassian and Ferengi coming.
Yeah, I think that's in the summer. And then I think they said by...
I know they're going to do Borg.
Yeah, the Borg are the one that are coming out later in the year.
And then maybe Dominion.
I don't think they said by Origins, because Origins is real soon.
Yeah, it's close. Dominion would be cool.
Yeah, maybe that will be for the Ferengi Cardassians.
Boss ass Jem Hadar ships.
I don't.
Gotta get that Tetracell white. Tetracell.
I know you love your Dominion, but it's not my thing.
I think the Dominion's cool. I think they're cool. They were such an interesting addition to Star Trek. Like, they were very unlike other races in Star Trek. You're like, oh, okay, it's kind of cool.
Well, they're the anti-Federation.
Yeah,
they're basically the Federation, but instead of, hey, come join us, it's
join us or die.
Which is, like the Borg. And apparently the Borg are supposed to be like a spoiler race, so they play on the board like randomly until they absorb one player. And whoever player they absorb becomes the Borg. So then that player plays as the Borg.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. So that interesting sounding, at
we
least.
We are Borg.
Yeah. Resistance is futile.
That's right.
Do they ever? They never actually say resistance is futile.
They do.
They do.
They do. It's in their like announcement. Like, we are the Borg. Your technological distinction will be added to our own. The last thing they say before they end transmission is resistance is futile.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, there was something weird about that. Like, it's one of those, like, misquoted lines, like, yeah, beam me up, Scotty.
It's because they never say it except at the end of that, like, broadcast.
Yeah, it's not like...
It's the whole thing. Yeah. It's, we are the Borg, your technological distinction will be added to our own, blah, 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 resistance is futile. That's it. That's the only time they say it. Yeah. And then Data says it when he fucking nukes the Borg Queen.
Resistance is futile.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking sweet.
And as all the synthetic skin gets blown away.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
It's a good movie. It's not a very good Star Trek.
There is no good Star Trek movie.
Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
I stand by that's still not a good Star Trek movie, although it's a really good movie.
Ooh, I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
I also love Star Trek VI.
It's a fantastic movie, but it's not a good Star Trek movie because you can't do Star Trek in a movie. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It doesn't.
Yeah, and it gets its own thing. Like, they're like a separate entity. Yeah. And as much as I really like the reboots, the second one notwithstanding, like, that. They're good, but they're not Star Trek because you can't do. I think the new movies are a much better use of the IP in film, actually, because they are wrapping them in a much better presentation. Like, you're not trying to do something. They're not trying to be something they're not. They're like, we're going to be a movie that's entertaining and uses Star Trek characters.
Except for Into Darkness. Then
right, I said, the second one notwithstanding.
What else was that?
And the second one was definitely made worse by the fact that, like, you know Wrath of Khan, you've seen it a bunch of times, and you're just like, come on.
The Age of Sigmar tournament was huge this year.
Age of Sigmar. It's fucking gigantic.
Bigger than it's been in, like, the last 3 years.
General's Compendium.
Yeah, it's got to be.
This is the first year. The General's Compendium is the best-selling book that Games Workshop has ever made. Did you know that?
No, I did not know
that. It is the single best-selling book Games Workshop has ever produced. Ever. Let that sink in. Age of Sigmar, General's Compendium, is the best-selling book that Games Workshop has ever made. That means it's outsold Space Marine Codexes. It's outsold 40K rulebooks. Think about that. That's how big Age of Sigmar, General's Compendium is.
Well, that's probably part of the reason why they're going to Age of Emperor.
That's right. It's fantastic. The game is great when you can play it.
Yeah.
That was my biggest fucking gripe when the game came out. That's why I was shitting on it. I was like, you can't fucking play it. There's no fucking rules. Like, how do you play this game?
Well, and it's so funny, like, at least in my own observation, that they put War Machine Hordes, in their own room.
I didn't see War Machine Hordes at all.
It was tiny. I don't know if, like, they maybe dropped, like, the normal, you know, tournament that they do, but it was, all the War Machine Hordes presence was tiny this year. It used to be that War Machine Hordes had their own fucking gigantic room.
Yeah.
Tons of tournaments. They would, like, Privateer Press would have big display cases with all the new figures that are coming out and everything. None of that this year. And Malfoe is, like, in the little corner now. Malfoe is done. They're done.
You think so?
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's done in Chicago. Like, people have moved on. Infinity was really small, but Infinity's always generally kind of small.
Yeah, they kind of maintain the size. They're always that, like, little section. They have some really great terrain. They had a little, like it was kind of like a shopping mall plaza thing.
Yeah,
it was like a circular shopping mall thing, and there was like a noodle stand. And,
oh,
like,
yeah,
chairs.
With like the what do they call it? They called it
it was Lopan. Lopan's noodles.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Something from Big Trouble in Little China.
And there was like a shoe store on the top rung. Yeah. It was like a mall. I thought that was really cool.
It looked very Blade Runner-y.
Yeah, very. That was a neat little terrain piece, and I was like, man, if Infinity's gameplay was as good as its terrain.
That's true. If anything about Infinity was as good as the models and terrain.
Yes. Because the models are great. Mine is the fact that they have very small hands.
Okay.
Not small hands in terms of, like, they're out of scale, but, like, they're small.
My biggest problem with Infinity models is it's like, okay, you have a metal model that is less than 1 centimeter thick.
Yeah.
Around.
Yeah. Because their scale is proper. Yeah. So, like, their humans are not big. Nothing about them is big.
And so you want them to be multi-part. You're like, well, what the hell? Like, the arms are literally falling off these models at any given time. And it's really annoying. And they're super hard to pin because they're so small. So, like, every modeling technique that you've ever learned
useless.
How to do is useless with Infinity models.
They're so small, pins are useless. They should be resin, really.
Yeah.
Because resin, that's one of the big, the nicest benefits about resin is you don't need to pin it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gluing a small piece of resin together, it will just hold. When the super glue dries, it's just fine.
Yes.
You never need to pin it.
The difference, well, I mean, it's in Infinity, if your metal model falls off the table, it will shatter into a trillion pieces.
A zillion.
But if you find all the pieces, you can put it back together and all is well. If your resin model falls off the table, it will explode into a bajillion pieces and you'll never be able to put it back together.
It's time for a new model.
It's time for a new model, yeah. Well, that was one of the things that I was talking with the guys at Arena Rex about was because I was lamenting, like, some of the figures that I have, like, the smaller fiddly bits just would break so easily. I'm like, are you guys ever thinking about moving to metal bits? And he's like, oh yeah, we've already done that. And I was like, thank God.
There's a few figures that have
metal parts. Yeah. Which is awesome, because he was telling me that that when they first started out, you know, they just told the sculptors, go do whatever you want with it, and we'll make it work. And then they, you know, once they the first few runs through of their figures, they were like, okay, now we have specs so that no spear can be less than this diameter.
Right.
No, you know, no feather could be this small or something like right. that. It's got to work.
Their sculptor's
that.
Amazing. Phenomenal.
Jesus Christ. And
and their painter's also phenomenal.
Well, he, you know, he works for the company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's I was talking to Angel Baker about him. He's like classically trained. Like that's like what he's been doing for like the last decade is just like painting like super well.
Yeah.
So and he compliments their sculptor perfectly. Because their sculptor is so insane. Like, that Medusa figure is fucking ridiculous. Still, yeah. I think it's still the single most... Like, the only other company that comes close to Kingdom Death or to Arena Rex is Kingdom Death. Like, they're like... I think Arena Rex and Kingdom Death are... They stand at the pinnacle of high-end sculpting.
Yes.
I think they're both at the top. I don't think there's... I think there's... the division between them is... You can have a preference between the two, but I feel that the division between those two is very small, and they're both at the top. Period. Yes.
And Arena Rex is much easier to get.
That's true. Yes, Arena Rex is not as hard to acquire as Kingdom Death.
That's Kingdom Death. Oh, man. A couple, you know, the local gaming stores were all there. Nothing fancy with that. Fucking, I don't understand why people love that Batman game.
Because the models.
That's
why people are super excited about the Harry Potter one. It's because the figures look fantastic. They look exactly like they're supposed to.
But...
I said, that's it. No. Stop. I'm telling you why people like it.
But why would you want an unpainted figure that you have to paint a specific way?
Because people like that stuff, dude. That people like that. People do that with 40K models. They're yeah. like, I'm going to paint these like Ultramarines.
Yeah, but I mean, but
it's the same diff.
Yeah, there's a difference because with
you can choose not to paint them as Ultramarines. Yes. Saying? Well, maybe someone's going to paint the Joker in a blue costume. I don't know. You know what I would like to do? I'd like to do...
That terrain for night models is fucking unbelievable.
It's really cool. Yeah, their stuff looks great. Visually, it's fantastic.
But that game is utter fucking nonsense. I'm sorry, people.
Let's be honest. Who's really going to play the game?
Well, there was a bunch of people playing it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, come on.
Come on. Yeah, it's so mind-boggling. And... I think the Harry Potter one could be good, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. Like, I have to see the rule set and what they're trying to achieve by it. Like, are these just, like, roving gangs of teenage wizards shooting spells at each other? Or is this, like oh, it's Harry Potter and the Dumbledore's army versus the you know,
it's,
Death Eaters?
It is. It's versus Death Eaters. The starter sets, there's a set of two Death Eaters and Bellatrix Lestrange. And then I believe the other starter is Harry, Ron, and Hermione.
I'm just going to get the Death Eaters just so I can kill children in the game.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
You want to Avada Kedavra that shit?
Yeah, just fucking dead. Game over. I win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could Avada Kedavra Harry as long as you don't use it with, as long as you don't do it with Voldemort.
Oh, that's true.
That was the thing I always thought was kind of weird about the movie. It was like, Voldemort should have just had someone else kill him. Like, right?
I don't... There are so many plot holes inside Harry Potter.
I mean, it is... It's his children's book, so...
It's... And the worst... The most... The biggest sin that Harry Potter commits... There's two of them. One is the use of the time turner in the third movie. Because once you brought time travel into that whole entire plot, everything before it becomes just like, well, hey, how come... They didn't use this for this or this or this, but yet they let this little girl use it just to get some extra classes in. Like this is nonsense. This, you have the power of time at your hands.
Well, the artifacts in Harry Potter are always like really awkward, like weird levels of power and like ones that appear like the
British themselves.
Well, the sword that he uses in the second one that comes out of the hat, like that's like a super busted, like ultra sword. Like he should have always kept that with him since he pulled it out. But he only ever used it to stab the basilisk.
Yeah. And to destroy the locket.
It was only in the second one.
Yeah.
Like, because each Harry Potter is really kind of a self-contained little fairy tale.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the you can only use this. I believe that it's you can only use the sword when you absolutely need to.
Okay. Like, you have to bust it out. So yeah, Harry never needed that sword again.
Well, apparently. And then the other thing is at the very end. Now, I'm not spoiling this for you, right? You've seen all the Harry Potter
movies. I've seen all the Harry Potter movies.
At the very end, Draco Malfoy was not put into prison. That he committed war crimes, sir. He should not have been allowed to live a normal life.
He didn't. He was going to commit crimes, and then he didn't.
It doesn't matter. He should have been in like
an accessory.
And he's an accessory to. He's not only an.
He is an accessory.
He's an accessory to murder. He's also an accessory to like genocide. The guy was like, you know, he was the equivalent of an alt-righter You know, in the Wizarding world,
it's weird because he looks exactly like an alt writer.
Yeah, what's his face? The guy that punch in the face all the time.
Richard Spencer.
Yeah, he looks just like Richard Spencer.
Mick punch a lot. He's been punched in the face at least twice now.
I think it's been three times.
Three times.
Yeah, three times.
That guy just needs to get punched every time.
Yes, exactly. Every time he shows his face, he should be punched. But he's like the equivalent of, you know, the Nazi youth. And he's just allowed to go on his daily life just because, you know, oh, Voldemort's dead. Okay, everyone's, you know, let's all get along. No!
Potter.
He should have been put in Azkaban or some other form of prison.
Well, Ronald Weasley should have been executed for being a gross ginger.
Yeah, that's true, too. I'm not arguing that.
So.
Yeah.
Just look at him.
he's that weird, like, British Isles ginger that's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, like, you could, and it, that would be the court case. They'd be like, you know. Look at him. And people will be like, all right.
Come on. Yeah,
look at him. That's my favorite, like, of anything. Like, my art, like, an argument is, I mean, come on. Look at him. I love it.
Oh, man.
It's like one of my coworkers. I was like, this guy sucks. I mean, come on. Look at him.
All right. Hold on. There was all the
tournaments. Are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
Very good.
There's all those tournaments that go on, the 40K friendly and the team tournament, which is always huge every year. I don't think it's ever getting smaller. Like, I don't think I've ever seen the 40K.
I can't believe how much bigger it is.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever actually seen it drop down.
It really, it was nice because it actually, like, jazzed me up to, like, want to, like, get back into, like, tabletop again. Like, I was like, ooh. Like, I was, my tank was empty as far as, like, tabletop gaming was.
And now you're concerned. Like, now you're like, all right.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm ready. I'm like, I'm going to hammer out these fucking demons. This is like the last seven demons I have. And then I'm going to get my Arena Rec stuff done. And then I'm going to do the Nurgle Mortals.
Oh, there you go.
That's and my, God, my plan.
You know, and I was saying that earlier about the Age of Sigmar tournament. Every army there looked really, really good. I think it was because, to be fair, the fantasy armies generally always look pretty good, like, yeah, the tournament. But the Age of Sigmar, there had to be close to, I don't know, there was definitely over 50 players playing.
Yeah, well, I mean, most Warhammer players didn't fuck around. Like, they painted, like.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. There had to be at least around 50 players. Yeah,
most of the time, your questionable paint jobs were always in 40K.
Yeah, and they, like, every army that I saw, even if they weren't up to, like, museum quality, top museum quality, they were definitely very well done. And it was, like, a nice mix of stuff. I saw some high elves. I saw a lot of chaos, of course.
Sure.
And Sigmarines.
I mean, chaos
and
is, like, the largest by a significant margin.
Yeah, Sigmarines. Mm-hmm. And didn't see any of the dwarves, though, the Fire Slayers.
Oh, that's because they're the most expensive army ever.
But what about the new ones? The clockwork.
Those guys look awesome. They're not going to be as expensive as the Fire Slayers.
I fucking love the balloon guy that looks like Harkonnen.
He's fucking awesome. He's just fucking jetting around in his little Zeppelin, his little personal Zeppelin. It's fucking sick.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's no other army that's going to be under that Fire Slayers pricing structure, because that was the not current CEO's idea of, like we're going to make these expensive. And it didn't work out. Like, the Fire Slayers are, like, some people have them, but they're really expensive. They're like Forge World price.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I ain't going to pay Forge World price for plastic minis.
Yeah. Higher than Forge World, probably. Yeah. But I could not believe the number of players that were playing that. So I'm interested, and I was talking with Jeff Wallachs, who runs the friendly over at the Adepticon, and the 40K friendly, and he plays in the team tournament. I'm like, so do you think that, it's like, when they switch over to Age of Emperor, that's going to be a major, like, it's going to really stop people from playing? He's like, no. He's like, people are already used to round bases. It's just going to be a new rule set. It actually would probably make things a lot quicker and smoother.
Yeah, for sure.
And he
that's the biggest problem, 40K. You have so many rules spread across so many books.
Yeah.
You have to, like, be like, oh, wait, hang on, this rule's here, and shit, no, wait, it's just, it's bloat. Rules bloat is, like, everyone who plays 40K knows about the rules bloat.
When I was telling him, I'm like, you think that people will still play 40K even if it's got the two-page rule set? And he goes, it's not going to be 2 pages. I go, it's going to be 2 pages of rules, because that is...
It's going to be slightly more, because it's going to have the General's Compendium built into the core game.
Well, okay.
So,
but I mean...
It will be slightly more than 2 pages.
But the rules,
pages.
Not the point cost. The rules will actually probably be just 2 pages.
Yeah, well,
rules.
I don't know how they're going to do Psykers.
Oh.
Psykers are probably not going to be the same way as spells.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think they're going to have a little bit more just a touch more complexity in 40K than they are going to do in Age of Sigmar.
Well, I think, so let's say it's 3 pages, because I think that they definitely have to address vehicles.
Right, that's another thing too. That's something that doesn't exist in Age of Sigmar. Yeah.
Vehicles and flyers.
Yeah,
you know, stuff.
So
there's
gonna be a little bit more, but it nothing compared to what it is now. Now it's a Herculean effort to try and just figure out how to play like a basic game of 40K.
Tis a mighty tome.
Yeah. And you need more than one now. You have to have all those supplement books.
I mean, I have every Warhammer fantasy rule book and supplemental book from fifth edition all the way to eighth edition. I have a complete set of everything from third to eighth.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes up one shelf. If you just took the stuff from probably the newest edition of 40K, it would be that exact size. That's how
if
many
not
rule
more.
Books.
There's yeah. a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Got a lot of books.
Yeah.
I was like I was taken aback a bit when I was like, oh shit. Because, you know, you had like the Tau have like 3 codexes. Just one army has 3 codexes. Chaos has like 4 or something. Yeah, there's a lot.
My favorite was that, you know, when I go to like Half Price Books or something like that and I'm looking at all the old rule books, I see like they have a ton of 40K stuff there.
Sure.
And I look at it and I'm like, I don't even know what edition this is from anymore. Like, I could tell, like, third edition.
You can tell the 7th ed books because they're that hardcover. They're the only one, I think, where everything's hardcover.
Yeah. Well, the new one's mostly hardcover, too. Right?
Well, no, 7th.
Okay,
that's the current edition.
Yeah, yeah.
The current edition, everything's hardcover. I don't think they have, like, any softcovers. So, like, if you see a codex that's hardcover, it's the current edition.
Yeah, and they got, like, all these crazy fucking supplementals and everything like that. I'm like, I can't deal with this. I'm done with this.
Well, and they, the thing, they have, like, the logic is backwards when it comes to their, like, battalions. Because, you know, they have in Age of Sigmar, they have, like, if you take, you know, like, the cavalcade of Nurgle, you have to take a great and clean one, 2 units of Plaguebearers, this and that, and then it costs you a certain number of points to use those special rules. In 40K, you get those rules for free. So there are things like, I guess one of the most complained about things, it's like a gladiator strike force for Space Marines right now, and the requirements for it are take a Space Marine army. It's like you need to take like 2 HQ choices and 3 tactical squads, and like that gets you this, and it gives you every unit's vehicles are free.
Oh, Jesus.
So you can take your entire army can be in drop pods for no points. So you basically get to play an 1850 game with like a 2500 point army.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So it's backwards logic, unlike Age of Sigmar, where you have to pay points to use these special rules.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's going to get swapped around.
If Age of Emperor does anything better, that would be it.
Yeah.
It's like stripping down the rules, making everything smaller.
Yeah.
And that's what I was telling Jeff about it. I go,
They don't even technically need to strip like a lot of their special rules or abilities out. They just need to put everything in one place, because the biggest issue with the current edition is everything is so scattered. Like, you know, you have this book's got these rules, this book's got this, and like you know if you're playing Tau, you have to have 3 different books, and you have to like, you know, search around for which rules you need.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what will work better is that you will have a book like the General's Compendium, which will give you your 4 pages of rules, all of the point costs of everything that you currently have, which is fine. That's all you need right off the bat. And then you'll buy, like, okay, they'll have their Ultramarine book, and the Ultramarine book will contain all of the Ultramarine stuff, and you'll just be able to go through that. It'll say, in the way that it's, like, the battle scroll will be put together, it'll work that way. I mean, it's very similar to already what 40K is. I just think 40K's rules are a little, they're too murky. It's like it's like walking through mud.
Yeah,
to get through.
It's
those
as clear
rules.
As mud.
It's as clear as mud. So if you have it just put out there in nice 4 pages of rules, like, because that's what's great about Age of Sigmar is that the rule set is incredibly easy to read.
Right, super small,
super small, but still incredibly easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll work. And also, Jeff said his exact words are, "Everything's gonna be okay, Joe. Marnius Kalgar is here."
Marnius, cool guy.
No, not Marnius. Robout Gilliam's back. That's what he said. He says everything's gonna be good.
Because Robout Gulliman. Yeah.
He's a big Smurf player. So
very good.
Yeah. Trying to think of what else I saw there. They had the Bits Room. Did you go see the Bits Room?
I did not go see a Bits Room.
No, it was like their flea market area. Everyone's selling everything at ridiculous prices. Of course.
Too high or too low?
Too high.
Mm.
Too high. You look at it, you're like, psh, come on.
I don't know.
And also there's the guys who are like, I'm selling, you know, homemade terrain, and it's like the pink foam hills, and you're nice. Just like
just a stack of pink foam hills with some pink foam showing through. Or the mountain with the crack in it.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
That's good stuff.
What's that? It's an Ogre Kingdom's movement trait. God damn it. It's got the maw.
The maw.
It's got the maw.
The maw table.
Yeah, I was actually, I think the biggest surprise to me was how small War of Hordes was. And fucking X-Wing is huge still.
Yeah, there was a gigantic amount of people playing X-Wing.
Yeah.
I saw some guys who I knew play Magic where I was like, what the hell? Like, I know those guys. They're Magic players. I'm like, what the hell are they doing here? So I meandered over and they're all playing X-Wing. And I'm like, it all makes sense now.
Were you like, that TIE fighter can't do that?
No, you can't fuck with their shit because minis are like, it's not like 40K where you can like grab a dude and like put him back.
Oh, yeah.
It's like X-Wing's like, if you like nudge him, like you have to call a judge. Like, judge, he nudged his slave one.
What you should do, here's a good one for you. If you want to troll everyone, you walk in there with like one of those gas powered leaf blowers and it's like,
just fucking blow their cards around.
And their minis. Yeah.
The amount of the that is one huge downside I feel of X-Wing is there's a ton of shit. Like, you think accessories for like a standard wargamer bed, like the amount of stuff you have to pile out on the table for playing X-Wing is ridiculous.
Yeah,
there's way more. Like, it's got special templates, dice, dials, trays, cards. Like, it's got the whole fucking like gamut of like bullshit you need, and it's way more space and way more shit than any other tabletop game I've seen.
I've come to the conclusion that specialized movement templates are no longer in my, like, I'm okay with.
Well, unfortunately for you, because X-Wing is the number one game.
Everyone's using those.
And
now
Rune Wars is going to come with it as well.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm aware. it's just so kind of obnoxious.
I don't see what's so bad about tape measures.
I don't either. It's just like tape measures have been used in wargaming since 1909 or whatever.
Yeah, when fucking Peter Cushing played with his figures on the floor like a savage.
He didn't use a tape measure.
Hey, did they had that super long string?
I was gonna say he probably just had a string with knots in it. That's what he probably used.
It's basically a tape measure.
Well, yeah, that's, he's like, oh, this is three knots movement.
Fire the cannon! I just imagine fucking Peter Cushing getting super fucking hype about a miniatures game. It makes me happy.
Oh man, Peter Cushing definitely missed out on the golden age of wargaming.
Well, I mean, that's debatable. Perhaps his age was the golden age of wargaming.
Ah, the golden age. Back when men played on floors instead of on tables like savages.
That's right.
That's where you eat.
I just imagine him getting fucking super hyped about a dice roll. or getting pissed like, fuck! He's just like hucking a dice.
Alec Guinness is sitting there going, are you rage quitting again, Peter?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm never playing this game again.
Fuck this game. Fuck the British. I'm switching to the Germans.
Well, maybe if you stopped playing the Boer War and picked a more modern war
game. It's Napoleonics or nothing.
No.
That idea of like Peter Cushing getting into like fucking nerdy like high nasally voice arguments.
That's not what the rules
say.
Yeah,
it's fucking good. Like that kind of thing excites me.
Hey, play with 54mm figures. That's
they're huge.
That's not my huge. That's not my style. I would look at Peter Cushing's collection and go, that's the paint style you could do in a 54mm. Psh, Peter Cushing.
I'd probably just look at you and be like, I'm fucking Peter Cushing. And then you'd be like, damn. You got me.
You're like 3 foot tall. Who knew?
He's
real tall.
Yeah,
actually.
He's a super tall guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can tell when he's standing next to Christopher Lee and Christopher Lee isn't towering over him.
Yeah.
If Christopher Lee doesn't tower over someone, that person's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Because Christopher Lee is a giant.
Well, was a giant. You think Christopher Lee was ever like, when he was looking at the minis games, ever going like, no.
No, fuck no. Christopher Lee was like the chillest dude ever. Like, Christopher Lee discovered metal in his 80s and was like, this is fucking sweet. And then made his own fucking metal band named Charlemagne. Like, Christopher Lee is way too, like, not uptight.
I think Christopher Lee would have been the type of guy that, like, he goes over to Peter Cushing's house and Peter Cushing's painting his figures and he just goes and just knocks it off the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
And walks away.
Yes, he just, like, just pushes it off. My favorite Christopher Lee story is where he's talking about, they were doing the scene when Saruman is getting stabbed by Grima, and Peter Jackson is like, you have to make this noise when he stabs you. And like, Christopher Lee just stops and he's like, Peter, I know what it sounds like when you stab a man. And it's like, oh, that's right. He totally killed Germans. He's like, I know what it's like. I know what it sounds like when you stab a man in the back. And I was like, oh shit.
Real briefly on the bolt action stuff, because I didn't play this year. I was I had some family commitments and other things. But the Nationals for bolt action, which were about 40 players this year, going to be going down to one day next year. Apparently, which is something that part of the reason I don't play in big tournaments is I can't do two-day tournaments.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. There's too many problems with it. One is, like, nobody wants to commit to 2 days.
I think committing to 2 days for Swiss is fucking stupid. And, like, all the miniatures tournaments want to do that. Like, if you're doing 2 days, you have to do it like any other competitive game out there, where the second day is a cut. Like, to whatever your cut is, it needs to be a cut. So day one is everyone. Day two is, you know, most mini, like, card games usually just do top eight. Like, top eight is on day two. So, like, the goal of day one is to make top eight.
Yeah.
So, that, like, if you want to do that, that's fine. Well, you should do that.
But the problem is that with the Adepticon, because everything you have to register for ahead of day, you don't want to have to, like, commit to 2 days, then only have to do the 1 day, because then on the second day you have nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you would need to set your schedule up, like, and because, you know, you need to go, like, be considerate of what people are going to play in. So it doesn't necessarily have to even be the next day. Like, you can, if you have your, you know, if you have your first day on Thursday, you can do your top eight on Sunday.
That's true. You could do that, but no one's going to play on Thursday, though. Everyone's still got work.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can split it up in a way that makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, they're doing the 1 day tournament, and plus it's like, if you do the Swiss style, which is ridiculous, as you said, that it would be like on the second day, like, oh, I lost my first three games. Well, why the fuck am I going to go?
People are just
going to
drop
day?
Anyway. Yeah. So, you know, unless you get the one guy who's like just desperate for games. And in that case,
you guys got some games. But you guys got some games.
In that case, you should just be playing in the open, you know, on one of the open tables. Just fucking, you know, draw games with randos.
Yeah. I agree. But plus, I fucking can't stand the way Bolt Action does their tournaments. I really, really, really hate the way that bolt action tournaments are usually put together, because, as I said before, each table is completely different.
Yeah, that's a minis game problem, not just bolt action.
Yeah, but
the only terrain that, like, I see is stressed to always be the same is Privateer, because they mostly just use felt circles and squares. And Arena Rex, because it's the same.
Yeah. Well, no.
It's the same for everyone.
Age of Sigmar was very heavily regulated this year.
Oh, yeah. Which is funny, because terrain arguably is not super important in Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, but I mean, it was really old style, like old 40.
Two forest, two hill.
Yeah, and maybe a house.
Nice.
That's it.
I still stand by that's pretty ideal.
Yeah.
Two forest, two hill. House is good, and then I like weird terrain for, you know, casual games, or like the teleporting, the gates. I think that's a really cool idea of, like, having a piece of terrain you go to and then warp to another table. Like, that's sweet.
And 40K, the team tournament and the friendly, all that terrain is pretty standard. I mean, they don't go crazy boards, but for some odd reason, Bolt Action is the one tournament in Adepticon where everything has to be this crazy ass board, and you're just like, this screws up everything.
Yeah,
especially if it's like, oh, you have to, you know, whatever the scenario is based off of, oh, you have to get off the board. Okay, well, thank you for putting a giant fucking river in the middle of the board that was obviously made by a 12-year-old who's never seen a real river or played a game before, because this river is a foot wide and you can't possibly cross that in two turns. So fuck you guys. That happened to me.
Nice.
It was awful.
Yeah, I would say this is the thing too. I don't know how the terrain rules in I don't know how the current terrain rules in 40K work. I don't know how the terrain rules in Bolt Action work. But I know in Age of Sigmar, in most cases, it's just terrain.
Yeah.
Like, it's generic. So if you have six pieces of terrain on the board, it's the same. It doesn't matter what they look like or what they are, but, like, you know, but, like, because water is the same as trees. Like, you go through it. It takes, you know, have your movement. And then, like, because I think terrain in Age of Sigmar, it's either, like, it slows you down, you can't move through it, and, like, that's it. Like, those are the options. Unless you add in the crazy, like, things that can attack you, special rule things.
Oh, my God. And fucking Knight Models with their fucking Batman game.
I am the bit.
Nope, no pictures, please. No pictures. I'm like,
I am the bit.
You have this awesome terrain. Why don't you want people taking pictures? How, like, fucking dicks are you about this?
I am the bit.
And then there's, oh, I did see some people playing Confrontation.
Really?
Yes.
The Confrontation tournament with the three guys?
There was, I think there was like four guys playing or something like that. Yeah.
What a showing.
Do
you get excited?
Well, I got a little excited when I saw it. I'm like, holy shit, that's Confrontation.
You're like, I'm going to go get my guys.
Let's get a battle. Wait, how do we play this game again? Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right. This is awful.
This game is terrible.
Why am I doing this?
It's not that bad.
Pretty bad.
It all depends on which rule set you're using.
Pretty bad. Yeah, well, I didn't play up to Ragnarok, so I don't know. I don't know if Ragnarok is good or bad, but
I don't know. Let's see if the new one's any good. Or
the old Confrontation before that was pretty broke, and the undead were possibly the most oppressive army in any game in history.
What was the
every official tournament that has, if I'm might not be 100% on this because I heard this is hearsay, but I believe that every official tournament that was ever run for Confrontation, the undead won.
Well, the I didn't see at Adepticons, I didn't see Wild West Exodus.
I saw some people selling Wild West Exodus, but I didn't see like a booth or anything. I think that game's done because it got sold, didn't it?
Did it get sold?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think actually almost 100% it got sold.
Okay. They couldn't handle the online heat anymore from their racist figures.
Well, the dude who runs it, I guess, is like low key, like super racist.
Well, I don't know if it's low key, but
well, low key because he wasn't like absolutely blatant.
Oh, okay. And then Battlefront was there. I didn't see like a big Flames of War tournament or anything like that, so that was kind of weird. Because usually they, you know, Flames of War is out in force, but they get a new edition and everything like that right now, so maybe they're just restructuring and waiting. New edition looks good though. I'm not gonna play it, but I do admit that the rule set looks pretty sweet. But it's 15 mil. Who wants to play 15 mil?
People who want to play 15 mil.
I don't know. I got Team Yankee, so I can't. I'm just a hypocrite, I guess.
Yeah, so. Wayland Games purchased Wild West Exodus.
Oh, Wayland did?
Yeah. Outlaw Miniatures is gone. They changed hands and became the property of Wayland Games.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is Wayland the guys that bought All Quiet on the Martian Front?
I don't think so. I actually don't know what Wayland. I thought Wayland was a store.
It's like a distributor, right? Or not a distributor, but yeah, like an online store.
Yeah, now they also own Wild West Exodus.
That's a bad purchase in my book. I don't understand it.
It was fucking hot as shit when it came out. Like everyone was playing Wild West Exodus, but I guess the game was broken really fast.
Yeah.
Like people were like, "Oh, these guys are the best," and then everyone just kind of quit.
That game was that game enraged me every time I saw it.
I wasn't a fan.
Ugh.
And I love Deadlands, and like that thing was really close to Deadlands.
Dead Man's Hand is a game that you might like. It's very similar.
Oh, I saw that.
It's not a bad game, and they're like adding magic to it now.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that they had a little. Someone either it was them, the guys who made it, at a little booth, or someone was selling it at a little booth.
Yeah, the because it was it's a standard cowboy game, but now they're making it a little more Weird West.
Adding hucksters.
Hucksters.
No, that's the magic users.
Yeah, I know.
They're hucksters.
I forgot about that until you said that. This made me laugh. All right. So, anything else about Adepticon or any other news or anything like that? We gotta talk about.
I mean, there was the GW stuff, the Death Guard, the Death Guard teasers at Adepticon, and there was a bunch of stuff that they revealed, I guess, but I haven't been following it.
Yeah, I haven't followed it either.
But so there you go. People will probably be complaining that we didn't talk
about the Death Guard.
Really. No one ever really complains on the podcast.
No,
we'd have to have people listening for that.
Yeah, you got there was the Death Guard. I know there was the new dwarves that were going to be released for fantasy.
Those guys are so fucking cool.
I
love them. I love their fucking vehicles, the fucking skyboats. Oh man, super cool.
I don't know. It just doesn't do anything. There's too much metal, I guess, in it, and I don't like painting all that metal.
I'm not going to get them. No. I just think that they're awesome looking, and they make me feel happy about Age of Sigmar, where it's like they're actually going away from their like old design, their old aesthetic. They're actually going like, we're gonna go with the new, like this is what we're doing.
Well, I think part of that too is that which is kind of a smart move on their end, but it makes me kind of sad, is that it really gets away from using generic models in the game,
right?
Like it's very difficult to play like Titanforge, which I like, using their figures for fantasy or right. for Age of Sigmar. Just they don't really blend that well. I mean, if you're playing like the standard old school dwarves or sure. something like that, you could use that. But I mean, if any demons, of the new
they have those demons that are like pretty generic, generic-y. You could easily use those for demons, but yeah.
Or like if you're using the pirate ogres that they have for right. the ogres,
the progers,
you could use those. That's fine, but it's like for like the
well that's the thing. The new ogre army is all mounted, so it's they're all on those like giant fucking like elephant things and the Mournfangs.
Oh my god, there was a dude who's running a list like that, and it looked so gorgeous, like the painting.
Yeah,
I was just like, fuck.
It's they're super strong in the game too. I guess one of the nastiest lists for them. It's like it's four of those elephants and like a couple Mournfang guys. Oh, yeah, it's really good.
All right. All right, so that's, I think, about it. So go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow Steve. I mean, you can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I am Command Throw.
I am Command Throw. That's your new one?
Yeah, I'm Command Throw.
You changed it?
I did.
Okay. At I am Command Throw. I'm assuming that's a Blaze Blue reference.
I'm Command Throw. It's a fighting game thing.
Okay.
Yeah. A command throw is an input that you use to do a throwing attack. So like Zangief, when he does his atomic buster, that's a command throw.
Okay.
Now you know.
Now.
Do. Yes. The star.
Yeah. You can like our Facebook page, Game Classy Podcast. You can help out the podcast by commenting, and subscribing on iTunes. You could also listen to us on YouTube and like, comment, subscribe there as well. You could listen to our sister podcast. You could listen to Play On Podcast with Steve and Pat B, where they talk about video games and stuff. I don't know. What's the big hot... What's
Nintendo!
The hot, well, I know Nintendo is, but what's hot with
the
Nintendo?
The hot thing right now is the shit fest of Mass Effect Andromeda. That'll be...
Is people having problems with that? What's going on with it?
So, long story short, I'll give you the quick example. There's a few, like, there's a cutscene where a character brandishes their weapon.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm going to shoot you. And they're holding the gun backwards. To give you an idea of the type of quality control that game had.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's
bad. Real bad.
Is there a love story that I can play to?
Probably. I mean, it is Mass Effect. So.
I enjoyed the seduction angle.
Yeah, it's probably there, but there might be a scene where they lean in to kiss and one of their faces disappear because the model wasn't done.
And like it's just the teeth and the eyes, like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, exactly. It's an Ubisoft level launch for BioWare, which is that's bad.
That sounds bad. And then the. You could also listen to Comic Book Logic, which is on a bit of a hiatus right now until Kevin recovers from having a child. So congratulations to Kevin. They have had their child. Now it's just a matter of them getting back to sleep. And you could also listen to Weeb Town, which is Steve talking about Japan.
With Giuseppe.
And they talk about candies. Japanese candies.
Delicious Japanese candy.
Yes. So, Steve, until next time.
Oh, and don't forget to check the Rec Age Kickstarter.
Okay.
They have a bunch of free digital stuff at rec-age.net as well. So
okay.
Check out Rec Age.
All right. So, Steve, until next time.
Later.
Game Classy.